Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 10 of the Limitless Wrestling Podcast. Randy Carver here, flying solo this week. No John Alba, no Danger Kid, but I do have one third of the main state posse, Aiden Agro, with me today. What's going on, man?
Yo.
What's up?
Oh, you know, just hanging out, man. Ready to talk some stuff and things.
Hell yeah. Thanks for coming on. Hey. Short notice. Yeah. Apologies that we're late on the podcast this week. We had some big meetings and stuff for Limitless Wrestling that'll be very beneficial to the fans soon enough. So it was all for good cause. Before we get started, just want to let everybody know tickets for the 2018 Vacation Land Cup are on sale now. LimitlessWrestling.com/tickets if you want to get yours. They've only been on sale for 2 days. We're over 200 tickets sold, so it's record timing this time. You definitely want to get yours soon if you plan on attending. This is a good show to bring a friend to, you know, middle of the summer. Not too much going on in the last of July there. So tell a friend. Bring them with you. It'll be a fun time. Steel Cage main event, Ace Romero and Anthony Green. Aiden Agro here on the podcast. He's in a triple threat match with the other boys in the main state posse, Alexander Lee and Danger Kid. First time that's ever happened in a Limitless ring, and it's a first round match in the Vacation Land Cup. Plus, we got Josh Briggs, David Starr, PCO, Jordan Grace, Alley Cat, many more. Again, tickets, limitlesswrestling.com/tickets. So, hey, Nagro, we're going to talk a bunch of Limitless Wrestling. We're going to talk about the matches that you've had. But before we get there, I want to talk about where you started in wrestling. We've talked about it on the podcast before. Maine is a very tough state to get started in the world of professional wrestling in. If I'm not mistaken, I think I met you your first day of training, October of 13. Is that correct?
Yeah. It sounds about accurate. It's kind of one of those things where Maine is not the best place to be when you're just trying to break into the business of professional wrestling.
No, it's very tough because there's not many places to train and train well. There's not many seminars, not many nationally known talents coming in, being able to teach their craft. How long were you training before you had your first match, and did you really feel ready to go when that opportunity arose?
We started training, like you said, October 13, and it was probably April of the following year, so April of 2014, DK and myself had our first match and first tag team match in small venue in Island Falls, Maine, I want to say it was.
Oh yeah.
So it would have been 8 months since we had first really started training to when we had our first match. We actually had a mock match like right before that to make sure that we were ready. So right. I guess you could classify that as the first ever match, but in front of a crowd of people, that was, you know, the same day we had our first match.
How'd you feel going into that? There's obviously nerves and stuff going into that, but did you feel confident, ready about stepping in there?
No, not at all. I think DK shared the same sentiment. Like, we are excited, obviously, right. But as far as nerves and everything, yeah, we just, once it all got down to everything, it was like, oh man, do we know everything that we need to know, like, going into this? Are we ready? And like, we weren't sure, and it was pretty much like a 5 minute kind of squash match against a couple guys from New York. I want to say it was Maximo Suave and Brian Caden, or Chris Caden.
Yeah, pretty sure. Chris Caden.
Yeah, those guys. I can't remember for the life of me. I can't remember what the hell their tag team name was now.
Defiance.
That's what it was. But yeah, we faced those guys in a 5 minute match, and they didn't have anything bad to say about it. They were like, hey, you did everything that you were supposed to do. So, I mean, I guess we'll take that for what it was. And yeah. That's kind of where everything started, though.
No, it was I was there live. I think it was a much better start than a lot of people have had, because, I mean, you don't really know what you're getting from someone when they have their first professional wrestling match. But right. You come in, you're tagging with Danny. It's not really out of the ordinary to come out of training and kind of go into a tag team. Was that something you envisioned happening once you and Danny started training with each other? Because I know he came into training just a month after you did.
Yes. So once we kind of got the ball rolling as far as training was concerned, we knew that we were pretty much on the same level, I guess, or progressing together. And we figured it made the most logical sense to try at tagging first. That way we could kind of help each other out. You know, we planned on being on the road from the get-go, doing everything that we possibly could. So we figured if we were tagging, it just made things easier.
Right. And I think that also probably opens up, especially on some smaller shows just starting out, it offers a pretty good opportunity to actually get on those shows, because it's a tag team. It's not one guy they're taking a chance on. You know, there's two guys there. I know tag teams are kind of tough to find in New England, especially around that point when you guys were coming up there in 2014. You know, there weren't too many hot tag teams around. So so you guys are wrestling now. April of 2014 is the debut. Are you guys traveling a lot 2014? Are you guys sticking in Maine mostly?
I want to say 2014, most of 2014, we stuck around Maine. We might have gone out of state one or two times within that first year that I can remember correctly. But I want to say it was the following year that we really started going out and doing stuff.
Yeah. So 2015 rolls around. You guys have been tagging for a little bit now. When I'm not sure if it Limitless Wrestling comes around first or if it's before this, but when do you guys start tagging with Alexander Lee? When does that pose a thought in your mind of becoming the mainstay posse? Because I believe it was 2015 in NCW is when you guys adopted the name. Is that correct? I may be off a little bit, but
no, sounds about right to me. We were friends with Ben, and he had told us about a company that he had been going to for years in Massachusetts, and obviously we're hungry and wanted to get our names out there and get out there, and so we figured, hell yeah, we totally want to go. So he said that he and his buddy Alex Chamberlain had done this team called Main State Posse, and he was like, I want to see if I can have you guys be, like, you know, my new posse. And, you know, we figured that was cool. Why not try it out? And we got there, and that's just kind of how it played out. From then on, we were the Main State Posse.
It's interesting to me how it kind of how just the metamorphosis, I guess, of MSP, because I remember being a fan early on and knowing that it was Ben, who is Alexander Lee, and Alex Chamberlain. And now you guys form into the Main State Posse with Ben in NCW. For those who don't know, NCW is a smaller promotion in Massachusetts. That's a promotion where guys like JT Dunn, Mike Grasso, other Limitless regulars kind of had their first matches. I know Anthony Green was there a lot early on. So definitely a good spot for up-and-coming wrestlers to get some match time in and get in front of a crowd. When did you guys first decide that you wanted to take this on the road and not just have it be an NCW?
I think it, we just all clicked so well, and just kind of the way that we carried ourselves, I think that we really just kind of enjoyed what we were doing, and the whole mindset behind, you know, being patriotic to your home state and being, you know, the hometown guys that are going out there and doing stuff when not many other people are. I mean, there's something, we felt there was something to that, and we wanted to keep going with it.
Makes sense. It makes sense because you guys were traveling together anyway.
Yeah, it was one of those things that was going to happen either way. We just now had a banner to get behind, really, a brand.
Right. And that helps a lot.
Absolutely.
So let's talk Limitless Wrestling now. Limitless comes around September of 15. What are your first thoughts when I'm telling you all this shit about maybe starting a wrestling company and doing something different in the state? Because you were there right off the bat, but you and Danny both were a part of the ring crew. We introduced Danny in, I believe it was the second show, as we started that feud with Alexander Lee. And then we introduced you with Alexander Lee to kind of kind of throw a new taste in the mouth of fans. I think everyone expected us to bring you guys in as the trio, but instead we bring in you with Ben as the bad guys. You turn your back on Danny, and Danny is left there trying to fight to get a chance at Alexander Lee. Give me your whole thoughts on Limitless Wrestling starting up and then being involved in this angle right off the bat.
Oh, man, when you first started mentioning that you were thinking about doing your own thing, I thought it was so cool. Like just the idea that we were going to have something other than what we already had. And I knew, like, you know, we both came from the same place, so we knew exactly where Maine Wrestling was at the time and what we felt it needed, you know.
Right.
And I was fully behind you straight from the get-go. That's why, I mean, that's why we're still here. I mean,
yeah, for
always,
sure.
I always believed in you, man, and everything, your vision. It's been a fucking thrill ride, honestly. So proud of you.
I'm proud of you, man. You've come a long way from the very beginning. I watched your first match the other day. And what we did with this whole angle is we had you kind of portray that you and Danny came up together. Everyone fucking knew that. Mm-hmm. I think they expected us to either put you with a tag with him or do the trio. Instead, we had you turn your back on him, side with Alexander Lee, who's kind of trying to be the tough love mentor to you. That eventually led to you actually wrestling Danny one-on-one. And then from there, they had the fans bring the weapons match where there you turned your back on Alexander Lee, joined Danny. I think the match that you had with Danny, it's actually online for free, youtube.com/limitlesswrestling. That's from May of 2016. I think that was a big step forward for you two. Again, I think everyone, you know, had the assumption that you guys would be tag team or trios guys, but instead you guys wrestling each other singles one-on-one and killing it, you know, having one of the better matches of the night. I don't think anyone really expected that. What are your thoughts on that match then and now looking back on it now? I think it was a pivotal point for both of you.
Absolutely. I think it was our first real opportunity to be in front of not only the Limitless fans, but in front of all these new guys in the locker room that, you know, we had never been around, really, because this was still before we had really started branching out. Right. So it was insanely intimidating just being in a locker room with all these guys that are known all over the world, and it really cool at the same time. But there were a lot of nerves for both of us just knowing that we are going to have those kind of guys there and showing that we deserve to be there as well. So I think that we definitely did everything that we could to make sure that we could basically show that we could hang in this kind of a company, in this caliber of a company.
Right. And it's a big step to even, you know, be in a locker room like that, especially that young in you guys' careers. So after the fans bring the weapons match, we move forward to now you guys are a tag team, you and Danny, known as the Maine State Posse. You have your debut match as a team past your bedtime, the 1 year anniversary show. You guys wrestle Christian Casanova and Brick Mass Stone. Mm-hmm. And then you guys close out the year pretty big. And we talk about you guys stepping into a locker room with some bigger name talents. You guys actually got to wrestle JT Dunn and Mike Grasso in a tag team match at the first ever Westbrook show. You also had a Anything Goes match with Tenacious 2, and then you closed out the year against Jeremy Leary and Skyler. Any of those stick out to you as big time matches for you?
JT Dunn and Mike Grasso was that was a big one for Danny and myself, just because we knew where JT has been, and Mike Grasso as well, really good friends with JT, and you know, they've, you know, traveled together, and we were terrified, honestly. Just because, you know, we wanted to be good. We wanted them to think that we were good. And, you know, at the same time, we knew that this was going to be a series, like a big learning experience for us as well. And I'm really glad that everything went the way it did. I mean, obviously, when you look back at it, watch things back, there's always things that you could have done better, you know, tightened up here or there. But I'm at the end of the day, we're happy with the match, and we got some really good feedback from Graça and JT after the fact.
That's good. Yeah, JT's, I think he's been really important to Limitless Wrestling. I really think he's a good locker room leader to have back there. And I'm very happy that we got to do that match. It was pretty cool to have that at the first Westbrook show. I think a lot of people think that Unreal is the first Westbrook show, but it actually happened in October of 2016. Right. But that was really fun. So we go into 2017, which is a big year for the Main State Posse, a big year of changes for the Main State Posse as well. You guys kick off the year January and February with two bangers. You guys wrestle Tyler Nitro and Cam Zagami at Unreal in January. And a match that I don't think a lot of people know that happened. You guys wrestled Ace Romero and Anthony Green at the final Orono show to this point. It was a little punk rock pro wrestling festival kind of thing. Take me through what was going through your head at Unreal. That was a big step forward for all of us involved in Limitless Wrestling, a very successful show. And then we'll get into the February show after that. But let me hear your thoughts on Unreal and wrestling Nitro and Zagami first.
I mean, Unreal was already a stacked show. I mean, that's when the Cody was at. Am I right?
Yeah, that's correct.
That alone in itself is exactly why that show is called Unreal. But as far as our match with Tyler Nitro and Cam Zagami was concerned, that was another one of those matches where we knew that we really had to kind of put up by comparison to everybody else that was on that card. You know, you just know they have to go out there and have a good match. And I think we definitely did that. I think we threw a lot of things in there that really showed that we have been at that point coming together as a team. Cause you know, it's such a task getting on the same page with one person, much less, you know, two once the trios got going. But just Danny and myself just getting on the same page and making sure that we could get an awesome match was everything to us at that show.
Yeah, and I think you guys did a good job at that. February, we have the Punk Rock Pro Wrestling Festival thing in Orono. What did you think of this concept for a show? Because I don't know if a lot of people know, but you have been, before wrestling, were heavily involved in the like Central Maine music scene. Am I correct?
Oh yeah, definitely, man.
It was a much different idea for a show. And you guys headlined, that was the first ever show you guys main evented for us against Ace Romero and Anthony Green. What do you think of that match? And is that another one that kind of sticks out as a learning experience?
Absolutely. It's, when you have two guys like AG and Ace Romero, like they were at the top of Limitless Wrestling for that entire year. I think we couldn't really decide who was better. That's why they ended up becoming a tag team.
Right.
But honestly, that I think that was the first match that we had where we after the fact realized that we really needed to kick things up a notch.
Yeah.
And I think we did the best we could in that match to keep up with those guys. I feel like we did keep up with those guys, but like I said, it was a real learning experience learning the things that we were capable of and being able to take that and carry it to later matches.
Right. So we moved through 2017 here. We have March, where you guys are teaming with Leary and Skylar against Team Freelance. Run me through that real quick, because I feel like from the outside looking in, none of you on that team, it's you, Danny, Jeremy, Leary, and Skylar, you guys had never been in the ring with these guys from Chicago. Probably never been on shows with these guys from Chicago.
Nope.
What runs through your head? What's the preparation in going into a match where you probably don't know a whole lot about these guys, have never seen them on a show, have never been in the ring with them. How do you mentally prepare for something like that?
I guess really it's for us, it was really just seeing how they kind of operated once we all got out there. And I great bunch of guys. I swear, like, if there was ever a group of people that I could just kind of meet, like, day of, know nothing about them, everything, like, flowed so well. And I mean, I gotta thank Craig Mitchell for a lot of that. I love that guy. He's so good in the ring, and he's very good at making things work. I don't know, just maybe it's just the way that he talks to people.
No, I think Craig is a very underrated talent, honestly. I think that all the way around. I think Craig Mitchell is just a huge asset to shows, a huge asset to any match that he's in. I definitely hope that he gets out there a lot more this year, because I've heard, not even just from you, I've heard the same, you know, same thing said about him from numerous people. So
yeah, no, absolutely. If there's anybody that I could give a lot of credit to being able to get, you know, that number of people on the same page, kind of getting the creative juices flowing, it'd be him. But that's not to downplay any of the other guys.
No, absolutely not.
But he's just always sticks out in my mind.
Yeah. So from there, what we had originally planned, and I've talked about this on the podcast before, but you guys were originally supposed to do what was just about supposed to be like an 11-month program with Leary and Skyler. It started at Hogwash in November. It was supposed to culminate at the 2-year anniversary show, Question the Answers. Mm-hmm. We weren't ultimately able to do that because of Leary and Skyler's schedule. So there's a lot of, throughout this, you know, spring into summer, we hinted at a lot. But ultimately, you guys would wrestle them a couple times. I'm getting to April, where at Can We Kick It, you had a triple threat tag with Leary and Skyler, Massage NV. And then in May, we realized we had to take a different direction, and you guys ended up wrestling the Batiri. Any thoughts on those two matches?
Trying to think. I really wish that we could have gotten a little bit more out of that program with Leary and Skyler, because I really feel like we were finally sinking our teeth into each other, honestly. Like, it's hard.
Development was good. The development, like, we had a lot of good plans for that, and we were all communicating heavily. So I think if it actually got to culminate with something, we actually got to kind of lead it to something, I think it would have been very good. But it was just piss poor timing. And then we did actually get to, we were supposed to have you guys wrestle them 2-on-2 at the Locker Mess Festival, but we had, card got fucked up there again. Tabernacle ended up getting thrown in there, but I agree with you. I think if that got the time to kind of marinate and develop and actually be something, it would have been sick.
Definitely.
But from there, May was a big month for you guys. You guys had that match with the Batiri. Then later on, you guys end up involving yourself in the Tabernacle the Team match, and Alexander Lee resurfaces in Limitless Wrestling for the first time since July of 2016, and he rejoins the Main State Posse, forming a trio. And a lot of people don't know, he was actually out of wrestling for a pretty good amount of that time, from July 16 to May of 17, with some pre-existing injuries and stuff like that. What did you think when we raised the idea and ended up going through with bringing the trio to Limitless? Was it exciting? Was it nerve-wracking? Like, what are you thinking through at that point?
I was really stoked about it, honestly. Like, I wasn't sure how it was going to play out yet, but I was optimistic, to say the least. I knew that he was nursing some lingering injuries, I was just hoping that he was going to be there 100% physically and mentally. And from the way things have been playing out, we're in good shape still. So
yeah, I was fucking stoked that he was coming back and actually, you know, 100% this time, because I think from the time that Limitless started to that Fans Bring the Weapons match, he had never really been at 100%. But he's the kind of guy who doesn't really want to let on if he's injured at all,
right?
Which I hate, because you know it. But he's been absolutely killing it lately, and it's real cool to see that you guys are meshing very well. That leads us to July. You guys had the trios match with Tabernacle the Team, which I think still holds up as one of, if not the best, Main State Posse trios match in Limitless Wrestling. What did you think of this match? What did you think of one thing I want to ask too, and I've never had a complaint about Tabernacle, but I'm just interested in general. Is it tough to get by like the language barrier? Because I know Bucks probably speaks the best English, but they don't all speak the best English.
It was not difficult at all. They all speak very good English, actually. The only thing that was ever rough for us was when they were like speaking French to each other. And it's like, we're right there. So it's like, hey, we're here.
You talking shit about us?
You talking shit right now, but we just trusted that they weren't.
Yeah.
But no, there was no language barrier at all. And cool. Yeah.
How'd you like the match?
As far as that really being our first ever, trios match, really, everything that could have gone right, I think did. And I think that was the perfect match to kind of set the tone for us being a trio, showing that we actually do have that chemistry and that we can all work together as a unit.
I agree. So we go from there. It's Joey Ryan and Massage Envy. This is something that you guys hadn't really done before. You guys had never really been pegged into like a comedy match per se. Right. And I think this was tough for you guys all the way around. It was a tough situation because not only is it a different style of match that you're going to have, it's also, you know, people aren't going to boo Joey Ryan and Massage Envy. Right. So it's a very, I knew from the start that was going to be a very tough hole to climb out of. And I'll be 100% honest. This was not the planned match. I don't even remember what MSP's planned match was, but I do remember that it was supposed to be Tabernacle the team, just as Matthew St. Jacques and Thomas Dubois versus Massage Envy, and Bucks Belmar was going to wrestle Joey Ryan in a singles match. And then, obviously, you know, shit changes all the time. That didn't end up happening. This trios match did. Take me through your thoughts when this was announced. Any nerves about how different this match would be? It wouldn't be a typical mainstay posse match, obviously. Just take me through your thoughts and take me through how you felt about this match now looking back at it.
I mean, anything that has to do with Joey Ryan, obviously we were pretty stoked. We didn't know how it was going to go. We didn't care. We just knew that we were going to be wrestling Joey Ryan, and we thought that was awesome. But yeah, it really kind of took us out of our comfort zone a little bit, as far as we knew exactly what kind of match it was going to be. And we hadn't really had an opportunity to really play that comedy role yet. And, I think this match was a great chance for everyone to see that we are a more versatile team where we can do the comedy bit as well as the wrestling bit and make it work, really, because we weren't even sure if it was going to work. But I think naturally we're all kind of goofy dudes, and we don't mind doing some slapstick shit every once in a while.
Right. And I think I thought it was a cool match to have now looking back at it, because I hate when, you know, and I think of this when I used to attend shows too, I always hated when promotions would kind of pigeonhole guys into certain styles of matches. That's why I really dig myself. I dig like mismatches, like Eli Everfly versus Brody King that we had at last show. I dig shit like that, because where else are you going to see something like that? And that kind of shows how well that a guy like Brody King can work with a cruiserweight. A guy like Eli Everfly can work with a heavyweight. It's just cool shit. So yeah, I really enjoyed that match. It did show how versatile you guys are. One thing I want to ask, and this was a fan question that someone sent as well, but I don't know who off the top of my head. Is it tougher to get bookings as a trio?
I would say yes, only because there are not a bunch of promotions out there right now that are booking trios matches.
Right.
If that makes sense. Yes and no, because there are certain places that it'll be just Danny and myself as a tag team there, or it'll be just Danny and Ben tag teaming. And there's not always, I guess, room for a trio at every promotion that we wrestle at. But at the same time, as long as we're there and if we're all still showing up, there's still ample opportunity for us all to be on that show at some capacity. So, yeah. I mean, even though it may not be a trio's match, if all three of us are there, we're still there representing the trio.
Right. No, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
I think Chikara really brought trios wrestling to its height in the Northeast area. Mm-hmm. But I don't think like there's not a ton of trios, like just straight up trios that are going right now. You have the Ugly Ducklings, who you guys just face this weekend. You've got OVE, Callahan and the Chris. I'm sure I'm missing some, but off the top of my head, that's what I can think of actual like straight up trios, not just stables. But I would think it's tougher. But yeah, you guys have done a very good job getting out there and consistently debuting for new companies. It's pretty cool to see. So from there, that was the end of your year in Limitless. You were not at Hybrid Moments. Come back in January. It is you guys versus, if I'm correct, I don't know how I remember the old shows better than the new ones, but January it was you guys with Chris Statlander, Alley Cat, and Ashley Box. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So what do you think of that match? Because I do not recall you guys doing a ton of intergender up to that point.
No, if I remember correctly, I think the only real intergender that we had done prior to that as a team would have been Leary and Skyler, right?
Yes, I know for sure that's the only one in Limitless, unless you guys did it anywhere else.
Not that I can remember, but yeah, so it was, I mean, we were really stoked to do intergender just because it was something that was not so much in our wheelhouse yet. And who better than with Chris Statlander, Ashley Vox, and Alley Cat, all rising stars in Limitless now. And it was really awesome being, you know, the first guys to really be in the ring in front of a Limitless crowd with such good talent, you know?
Yeah. And I think that was really cool because, again, it's something where you guys are showing how versatile you guys are. Intergender wrestling is slowly but surely becoming very popular around not only just the independents, but I think wrestling as well with places like Lucha Underground making it, you know, now nationally televised. It's been pretty cool to see. So I always think it's cool, too, when you know, performers don't have a second thought about doing intergender matches. When I first came into the business, it was something that, you know, if someone was asked to do it, regardless of which gender it may be, someone might have something to say about it. Now that's becoming, you know, less and less of a thing. So I always think that's pretty cool.
Absolutely, man. The more we can normalize it, the less there'll be like a stigma around it. And
for sure,
it'll happen. And I'm excited for that, for things to get to that point.
Me too. So then we have Only Fools Are Satisfied, which was a very interesting show for the Main State Posse. You're all kind of doing something different here. This is the first time you were in singles, actually all three of you, the first time you guys were in singles action in quite some time. You're a part of the six-man scramble. You're opposing Alexander Lee within the scramble. What did you think of that match as a whole? And what did you think of having to oppose your partner in the Main State Posse?
I think the match was definitely a great opportunity for us to show that we can hang on our own. You know, we can fly solo if we have to. It's foreign to us now, but not impossible for us.
Right.
And I think we definitely, at least Al and I, showed that in the scramble, as well as Danny showed that again in his match against Jimmy Jacobs. We all work as a unit, but we are not completely defenseless otherwise. Right,
on your own. Yeah. And I think that was a good show in general to kind of show that to the fans of Limitless that you guys aren't just a trio. What did you think of Danny getting that one-on-one match? I had somebody ask in a fan question as well. Was there any professional jealousy kind of between any members of the Main State Posse? Because there are some places, like you said earlier, some places where maybe only two of the posse get booked. There might be some places where you have a singles match and they don't, vice versa. Does that affect you at all?
I wouldn't say it affects me or any of us negatively, no. But I think it's just kind of natural that we're all going to be a little jelly of the other's peanut butter every once in a while.
Right.
So, no hate on him for getting the big match. And likewise, for anything that we do anywhere else, we always have each other's back 100%, and we always try to make sure that we're not super jelly of each other.
Did you feel any of that when training with Danny? Like, was it kind of a thing that maybe if you saw that he was a step ahead of you, or maybe if he saw that you were a step ahead of him, that one of you would, you know, that would make you push harder?
Absolutely. I think that little bit of friendly competition is always going to be there. And I think that is what ultimately makes us better wrestlers. Just because if you don't have somebody that's there pushing you, then you'll get complacent and you'll stop improving.
I agree. I totally agree. So now we get to where we are today. Again, not, this isn't something that we necessarily expected to get to with the angle that we, you know, kind of started after the Tabernacle team match, but now we're here, and it's coming up July 27th. Mm-hmm. I don't know what fucking day we're in anymore. July 27th, 2018 Vacation Land Cup. It's you versus Danger Kid versus Alexander Lee. The winner goes to the finals of the 2018 and first ever Vacation Land Cup. What do you think of this? Again, having to face, you know, your brothers in the Main State Posse, all for a shot at the finals of the Vacation Land Cup. Give me your thoughts on this. Give me your thoughts on Joey Eastman really interjecting himself into the Main State Posse. I want to say the mind of the Main State Posse, because I think all your minds have been fucked up by Joey.
Okay, I don't even remember where Shitweasel came from. First of all, I literally don't remember. and now it just seems like he's kind of cemented himself in our business for, I mean, however long he has now, I don't even know. And it's just, now he's just, we just want him to leave. he thinks that he can take us to all these places and that he can show us the golden way to make money in what we're doing, and somehow we're just not doing it right. I mean, I think it's all bullshit. If what we were doing wasn't working, then we wouldn't be where we are today.
I agree.
It's a little insulting at times to think that somebody would think that just based off of what we're doing, there isn't any money in it or any legs to stand on if we went outside of the state of Maine.
And which you do, though, and I think there are obvious legs to stand on, because you know, you guys are debuting and come, you guys, over the past couple of years, you look at the rundown of where you guys have wrestled, Beyond Wrestling, Battle Club Pro, Danny's debuting Dropkick Depression. Where else have you guys gone, man? It's a laundry list. I know you guys were just in like New Jersey this weekend.
We were just in New Jersey for Innovative Pro. We're going to be wrestling for a second chance to be the Chaotic Wrestling Tag Team Champions. We debuted at Chikara at their main show. It's just all the places that we've had the pleasure to wrestle at. It's been both humbling and kind of had us beside ourselves just thinking that, you know, we're even getting to these places.
Right. That's some pretty big places right there. So before I let you go here, we got a couple fan questions. I got one here. Have you ever done any hardcore or death matches? I'd love to see you in a company like a CZW or GCW, if so.
Uh, Yes and no. No real death matches. No, I've been in hardcore matches and street fights, I guess, which I never really know the difference. Maybe just the name, but they all seem to always go the same way. There's you and another guy, or a few other dudes, and there's a bunch of shit thrown all over the place, and you can hit each other with it or use it to whatever means to win the match. And yeah, I would say that myself, Al, and Danny are no strangers to those types of matches. And yes, we would be absolutely open to venturing into that realm of this business.
I think it'd be neat. I think it'd be a whole, and again, another side of the Mainstay Posse. Another question here. Have you tagged with anyone but Danger Kid and Alexander Lee within the past couple years?
Within the past couple years, I don't think so, honestly.
I can't recall anything unless there was like a, you know, a 10, other than like six man tag. I know you guys tagged with Skylar a couple weeks ago in Chaotic, but.
Yeah. Which was a blast.
I don't know if I've ever seen you or Danny ever, or even Ben for that matter. I don't think I've ever seen any of the three really straight up tag with anybody else.
You know what? I think Danny did at a Larry Huntley show.
Oh, I'm sure.
I think he did. I'm pretty sure he did.
Another one here. Are we going to see you in New Jersey or in New York anytime soon? Saw you at the Innovative Pro show this past weekend. Was very impressed with you guys.
Oh, well, thanks very much to that fan. But yes, absolutely. We plan on returning to Innovative Pro. I can't remember exactly which dates we're going to be back for, but we're definitely going to be back, as well as the Wrestler's Laboratory. They're having their first standalone show in June, July. I'd have to double check, but
you're not the date guy.
I feel like an asshole because Dan is totally the date guy, and whenever this shit comes up, I feel like I should just have my phone ready.
They can find it online. They can search it from Wrestler's Lab.
Wrestler's Lab on Facebook, Twitter, the IG. You'll find it, trust me. But that one, we're gonna be there. And we're doing everything that we can right now to branch out even further. I know that we're in talks with a couple companies in Ohio right now, New York and North Carolina.
Nice.
Very I think cool. we're currently looking into PWX Pure, which is like their
PWX is a good company.
Absolutely. And I guess PWX Pure is kind of their breeding ground. And so I think we're going to go down there and show them what we got and hopefully get on their main shows.
Very cool. All right. So anyone who's listening to this who doesn't follow you, where can they follow you on social media?
All right. So you can find me on the Twitters at He Is Aggro. You can also find me on the IG at The Pine Prince, Facebook.com, Aiden Aggro. And also facebook.com, Main State Posse as well. And you can also find us on Instagram at Main State Posse. So
cool, man. Yeah, appreciate you being on here. This was fun.
Yeah, definitely, man. I will do it anytime.
One more time before we close, the Vacation Land Cup, first time ever we're having a tournament in Limitless Wrestling. There'll be four opening round matches leading to a four-way elimination match final. That's going down Friday, July 27th at the Westbrook Armory in Westbrook, Maine. Again, 200 tickets sold in the first 2 days, so jump on that. LimitlessWrestling.com/tickets if you want to get yours. Just $15 for general admission. It's a great deal. Steel cage match, main event, Ace Romero versus Anthony Green. You can keep up with all the updates at Facebook.com/LimitlessWrestling, at LW Maine on Twitter, at Limitless Wrestling on Instagram. Why don't you go ahead and subscribe to our YouTube as well, YouTube.com/LimitlessWrestling. We just surpassed 80,000 subscribers today on YouTube.com/LimitlessWrestling, so I really appreciate the support. We'll definitely be dropping some big-time matches on there for free this week just to celebrate, so be a good time to subscribe. Also, anytime you want to get DVDs, merchandise, LimitlessWrestling.com, head to the store section. We're going to have a lot of new t-shirts and stuff heading into the Vacation Land Cup, so be a good time to jump on that and maybe just maybe, I got the final edits and actual some printed demos of Limitless Wrestling trading cards today. So be on the lookout for that. A lot of new merchandise coming in for July. So, and again, I've had a lot of questions about it. There's an upcoming events section now on our website that'll be updated. But just to let you know what our summer is looking like, August 11th, we're going to be at the Hollis Pirate Festival in Hollis, Maine. On Saturday, September 8th, we're going to be at the Litchfield Fair in Litchfield, Maine. It's about 40 minutes from Portland. It's right next to West Gardner. And then the big event of the summer, September 21st, Friday night, that is the 3-year anniversary show of Limitless Wrestling. We'll have a lot of announcements for that at the Vacationland Cup. Aiden Agro, want to thank you again for being on here today. Episode 10, we are wrapping up. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe this podcast. We want to get it out to as many people as possible. Once again, thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. Have a good night.